and gentlemen, welcome to CADcast episode number 231. I am Cheapy D here in Tokyo, Japan. And of course, we've got Wombat.
And I'm a rock star from Mars.
Is that something that Charlie Sheen said?
That is something Charlie Sheen said. I am winning.
No. You're doing it wrong.
I am? Am I doing it wrong? What is it? Winning?
Winning.
Yeah.
Shipwreck, how about you? Shipwreck?
What happened?
Hello?
I think we lost him.
Oh.
Maybe he'll dial in? Where'd he go?
Hello?
What just happened?
There you are.
The audio completely cut out. I didn't hear anybody talking. I heard Wombat make a bad Charlie Sheen joke, and then that was it.
Well, that's fine.
That was pretty much all that happened. Welcome back.
You didn't miss anything.
You missed the whole show. We're done.
See you later, everybody.
Be sure to follow us on Twitter. At Wombat5277, at CBD, and at shipwreck.twitter.
Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. Of course, this week is GDC, and none of us are there, as a matter of fact. But we have an internet connection, and we can read about it.
It's pretty boring.
I think that's still more exciting than being there.
I've never been. I'd like to go. I mean, I'm more interested in just going to San Francisco in general, but I would like an excuse to go to San Francisco.
It's not really for us, though. Like, it seems interesting if you're actually a game developer.
But like,
trying to learn stuff, but the press side of it's just boring.
Well, they go. They seem to like it.
I think they like drinking.
I like drinking.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I like everything. I like America.
But does America like you?
Yes, obviously. Hello.
I don't know. They kind of kicked you out.
They didn't kick me out.
That's
they
what
want
you
me back.
Keep telling they yourself.
No. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. I don't know. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Bulletstorm, Killzone 3, Knight's Contract. I know everyone was waiting to hear about Knight's Contract.
I know I am.
3DS, and a lot more. I think we should kick things off right away with the show feedback from last week, Wombat. What do we got?
Necrozilla wants to know, what does one consume during an episode of the CADcast? Well, and since the show just started, I figure this is a good top of the show question. What do you recommend someone eat while listening to the CADcast?
Oh, I thought they were talking about what do we consume.
No, I think what they should consume while listening.
Babies.
Interesting choice. I was going to go with pot pie. What do you think, Shipwreck?
That's what I'm going to have after this show is over. I'm pretty much looking forward to that.
Yeah, I go with pot pie. I think in any situation, really, you could always answer with pot pie, and people would probably just shake their head in agreement.
I love pot pie. I haven't had a pot pie in a long-ass time.
Now, when we say pot pie, yeah.
I was going to say, Shipwreck and I are referring to the pastry filled with chicken and vegetables.
That is what I am referring to as well.
Just checking.
Yes. Yes, good of you to check. I am drinking a Mugi-cha right now.
I don't know what that is.
It's tea. It's a non-caffeinated tea.
I thought that was one of those little monkey dolls.
That's a manchichi.
Right. What else we got?
That means happiness. Rich Meisterman says, you guys nailed it on the fighting games and learning how to play them. Nice to see I'm not the only one that can't string together ridiculous combos with little to no hints. So people agreed with you guys from last week.
Well, it's just so hard to buy one of these games right now if you're already not an expert at it. Because how are you going to even play online against anybody? You won't stand a chance.
Nope, that's why I haven't even bothered picking up Marvel versus Capcom.
No. Even as big of a comic book fan as you are.
I didn't pick. You know what we did get, though? For Baby Boy to Bee's room?
No.
We got these vintage metal signs. That are like, it looks like a Batman, a Superman, a Spider-Man, a Hulk, and a Captain America.
What makes them vintage?
Lead paint.
That's where I was going.
Heavy lead paint. No. They're made to look much older than they are, but they're really cool.
With lead paint,
yes.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I'll probably pick up Mortal Kombat because I feel like I maybe stand a chance at that. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I could be wrong. We'll see.
Sounds exciting.
Let's go. What else?
Dub Fulio has to say, interesting discussion on the Xbox Live Arcade pricing. I'm sure Microsoft controls this to prevent what has happened on the App Store, which is a constant battle of undercutting prices. It's rare that I'll spend more than 99 cents for an app, which is probably true for most people. I actually heard from someone who gave me the reason, or at least his reason, and I can't say who it is, so it's someone who shall remain nameless.
Michael Packer?
Their reason why they don't think this practice happens, and it does make sense to me. And he did say that he thinks I'm right, that they are leaving money on the table.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a question of, let's say a game that normally sells zero, you know, copies a month lowers its price down to $1, and with it at that dollar price point, they sell 100. That's $100. They now have to go into their books and do accounting on $100, which may actually wind up costing more than $100. And just the hassle of having to account for those dollar sales for companies of certain sizes, a lot of those companies that make Xbox Live Arcade games, it may not be worth it to drop the price.
Well, 100 copies is one thing, but what about 100,000 copies?
Well, that's really what it would come down to. But even 1,000 copies may not be worth it.
Right, but I don't know.
Exactly. It's yes, if they sold 100,000 copies, but we're talking, you know, a game from 2005.
Dig Dug.
Yeah. So are they going to sell 100,000 copies for $1?
Maybe.
I don't know.
It could happen.
It could. Crazier things have.
But that's an interesting reasoning there. Actually, Brewjammer on Twitter wanted to know, when's the last time we saw a priced item on the Xbox Marketplace go free? Even for a short period of time. I mean, that only happens with
the Dorito games.
Yeah, and like Avatar and themes and stuff. I don't think it happens with games.
Dorito games, those were good games.
Well, okay, but that's,
they didn't start out as a price and then go free,
right,
is what they're talking about.
He meant
about.
Go free from after, you know, being a paid piece of content.
Oh, I see. Well, how often does it happen anywhere?
It happens on Apple Store all the time.
Yeah, oh, that's true. I guess they have the occasional temporary free.
Yeah, yeah. I don't. Maybe with DLC, has it happened free? I don't know about free, but definitely like themes and stuff, and maybe not that.
Did you get your double lightsabers? I got those today.
Went
free.
Yeah, that went free.
How do you get that?
You go onto the marketplace and you look up the double lightsabers. It might be gone now. I'm not sure.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah, because that's what you want to see is when you scroll down your friends list, everybody swinging those lightsabers.
I guess you have a point there, but still, I would want them.
Well, you'll probably live without
to stick in your Avatar closet.
Exactly.
What else?
I'm trying to think of anything else. Zebwin says, Wombat, I completely agree with you about Dead Island. I am for a game that features strong emotional resonance, but as a father of a baby girl, I was mortified at the beginning of the trailer, and I hope to actually never feel what it would be like to lose my child. I am hoping to find a spoiler-heavy review when the game comes out, and if the little girl dies, I will definitely not be buying it. I saw a handful of people that actually agreed with me on this, and, you know, whether it be in the thread or on Twitter, just saying that they felt that a lot of the emotion was sort of... what's the word I'm
cheap.
Looking for? Cheap. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was a little cheap. It was like, yeah, oh, how to make people feel sad? Kill a child.
I would not assume that anything that you saw in that trailer has anything to do with the game.
No. There's also been a lot of talk lately of the killing children in video games being a frightening trend I've seen thrown around lately, too.
What games can you kill children in?
Dead Space 2, Bioshock.
But those aren't children.
Dead Kids and Dead Island.
Unless I'm not up to that part yet.
I'm just saying, what, in Dead Space?
There's you can kill children in Dead Space 2, Ship?
Necromorph versions, yes.
Oh, I didn't even realize those were children. I just thought they were
they're
little
children.
Necromorphs.
Nope, they're children.
You haven't gotten to a level then.
The nursery?
Yes.
Yeah, isn't that early in the game?
Somehow I didn't put two and two together, and
there's Dante's Inferno where you're. I don't know if you can really count that one though, because I think those were in the book. So, I guess Dante was on this demon baby kick long before video games were. We're just like riding on his coattails now.
I see. All right. Well, all right. So that's the feedback, I guess. Shall we move on to new releases?
Sure. There's not that great of new releases this week. So,
all right.
There's Fight Night Champion.
I played a lot of the last Fight Night. I will probably get this at some point. I'm going to wait for some reviews. I haven't, have you guys read any reviews?
I don't care about it.
Really? It's really well done. The last one was really well done. It's got an 85.
I've heard good things. 85 seems to be the score of everything on Metacritic right now. It's weird, right? I think every game that's come out in the last month.
Look, I'm going to read you off the 85 list right now. Killzone 3, Marvel vs. Capcom, Castlevania, Lords of Shadow, Bulletstorm, Gran Turismo as an 84. Does that count as an 85?
Yeah, 84 and 85? 84 to 85, I'll count it.
Okay, there's probably more, but that's all I see.
It's pretty funny.
Okay, so I'll get that at some point. I knew I wouldn't have a chance to play it yet, but I'll grab it.
That's really the only big retail release this week. Mm-hmm. For the PC, there's a CAG that's been working on it, so I will mention Rift.
Yeah, I was going to say Rift. Do you know his name? Because I was trying to remember it before, and I couldn't remember.
He messaged me, so I can look that up.
It's Johnny Rift, obviously.
Johnny Rift. So good luck, Johnny Rift, on your game.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't you look that up while I... Can you look that up while I keep going?
I'll do that.
That sounds like a plan. And then for... Oh, this Sunday, of course, Pokemon comes out, Black and White Edition. I got that in the mail today, but I haven't had a chance to check it out yet. I do like that they sent me both the black and the white versions.
Oh,
and on the cover of each of them, it tells you a list of about 30 or 40 Pokemons that you can't talk about until the embargo is up. And it lists out all their different names.
Let me
read those to you. I got to check what that is. I'm not a big Pokemon guy.
What would that mean to somebody if you did mention those names? Like, would they say, what would happen? What would be the problem?
People like their Pokemons.
But how could that hurt? Is it like you would ruin the surprise that Juju Boy is in it or something?
I love Juju Boy. I guess so. He throws a Yarmulke at other Pokemon.
That's you, isn't it?
Yeah, that's me. And the CAG that's working on Rift is Carbogo.
Mm-hmm. I like Johnny Rift better.
Is Carbogo a Pokemon?
That might be a Pokemon also.
Right, you just read the wrong list.
Oh no!
Embargoed.
And then for Xbox Live Arcade, Beyond Good and Evil HD comes out. Are you guys interested in that at all?
I played it when it came out the first time, but I don't believe I finished it.
Was it in HD?
Of course it's in HD.
When you played it? No.
No, no.
Of course.
Any initial word about how the game looks or anything?
I have no idea. I really liked Beyond Good and Evil, but I have no interest in playing it again.
Right.
It seems like the gameplay is going to be dated by now. It feels like an older Zelda game. Like I don't see myself enjoying Ocarina of Time either on the 3DS when that comes out. That gameplay is just kind of dated to me now, and I like to reminisce about it, but I don't really want to play it again.
Okay, fair enough.
And then on PSN, Pixel Junk Shooter 2 is coming out, or just came out, I guess.
Yeah, I still haven't finished the first one.
Me neither.
I have it, but...
Yep.
I found it dull.
I liked it, I just didn't finish it.
I felt like I had the idea after a few levels. I got the picture.
Mm-hmm. That was the same way I felt.
What else?
People like it, apparently. For WiiWare, the last Bit Trip game came out, Bit Trip Flux. And I haven't had a chance to check that out yet either. So,
ta-da!
Yeah, that's the new releases.
All right, very good. Let's do some quick CAG shopping news. Some Sunday at video game deals that you should know about. These end on Saturday. Best Buy has a buy two, get one free deal on PS3 greatest hits. And you know, there's some new greatest hits this week too, right? There's, what are the new ones? I already forgot. Heavy Rain.
God of War 3.
And what else?
The racing game with
oh, Mod Nation.
Thank you.
Mod Nation Racers. They also have a buy two, $9.99 PSP games get one free deal as well. So you'll probably want to check that out. And over at Kmart, if you buy the PS3 version of Black Ops, you'll get a $20 PSN card. And Black Ops is $50. And over at Toys R Us, if you buy Fight Night Champion or Bulletstorm, you will get Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, Fallout New Vegas, or Dead Space 2 for $20.
That's not bad.
Not bad at all. And with that, oh, we have a contest this week, I see.
We do. It's actually going to be a contest in the forums, but we're giving away 3 copies of Rockin' Android's PSN game Acceleration of Siguri X, which is kind of like a shmup fighting game. I played through it. The most notable thing to me was on the normal version of arcade, I could not touch the analog stick or any button besides the circle button, and I beat it.
You mean you didn't move, you just shot and you didn't move.
Right. I did not move at all. Just
well, that's a winning endorsement.
Yes.
Wait, and then this is what mode? That was on easy though.
No, that was on normal on the arcade. Oh, normal. Mode. There's a couple different story modes and stuff. Something about they're little Lolita Japanese robot girls that are fighting. And one of the storylines is about they're fighting over some pudding or something.
Mm.
Yeah, it sounded tasty.
I played that game before.
Right, in real life.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty exciting. Wow, we're already up to this part in the show. And, well, let's do our GoDaddy spot right now. Before, you know, people usually turn off the show after 20 minutes anyway. So we might as well get the GoDaddy spot out of the way. Of course, for all your web hosting and domain registration needs, GoDaddy.com, some coupon codes, 10% off any order, CAG 10, $5 off a $30 order, CAG 5 off 30, and $7.49 domain registrations, CAG domain, GoDaddy.com. Boing! Let's move on to multi-platforming, Wombat's news and stuff.
I could talk about Brink now. Do you want to know about Brink?
I do. You went to a special preview event in Manhattan.
Yeah, and it's funny because all the previews came out today online as well, to yesterday and today. And I've been reading them, and people seem to really like this game a lot more than I did.
Well, first
it's
of all,
previews. It's previews. They're not going to say anything negative in the previews.
Is that, right. Is that really what it comes down to?
Yes, that's what it comes down to. They're going to give them the benefit of the doubt. That way they get the review copies and they don't upset anybody.
And knowing that I'm not getting a review copy, I could say what I want.
Wait, first I want to hear about the event itself. Where was it?
The event was in a hotel on
what
the,
hotel?
Which one? Right off of Bryant Park. I want to say the Bryant Park Hotel. Yeah,
no.
Sure.
Bryant
yeah.
Park Hotel.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was the Bryant Park Hotel.
I didn't know that such a thing existed.
So where Fashion Week is at?
Yes, it is exactly where Fashion Week is at. I'm surprised you knew that. And it
There's
was
that
in
one
a
reality show that I watch.
Oh, gotcha. It was in a special room in the hotel. And, I mean, it wasn't really the fanciest thing. It was just a big empty room with tables. And they had the game running on PS3s.
Okay.
And, I mean,
give me the pitch on Brink. I don't really know much about it.
Brink is a multiplayer first-person shooter with, excuse me. It's an online multiplayer shooter that's class-based. It's a class-based online multiplayer shooter, first-person perspective, where the hook really is the amount of customization you can have on your character, from skin tone to knee pads, and everything you do has an effect on your character, which is pretty neat. You know, that's kind of a nice thing, cool thing to it. And each class has some very unique skills. So, you know, the medic obviously can heal people. The soldier can, you know, not only shoot people but can set up explosive charges at certain points.
So it's Team Fortress, but you can customize the
it
characters?
Does definitely has a Team Fortress vibe. It's a better looking game than Team Fortress, I would say.
Isn't there some sort of selling point about the online is the single player is online or something. I don't even know.
That's just it. I mean, it just feels like the single player, because we played a campaign mode, but there was, you know, all of us on one team against a computer AI. It just felt like, you know, playing against bots. It wasn't like, oh my God, this is unlike anything I've ever done before. It was, you know, get from the beginning of the stage to the end of the stage. It was, we had to escort a robot truck from one end of the stage to the other. That was the mission. And along the way, you needed to have people within a certain class in order to get past certain obstacles. So you needed the soldier to explode the gates. You needed the mechanic to fix the crane to lift the thing over the next wall. You needed the spy to open the electric doors. And, you know, so different classes have different uses. And again, there's a lot, you know, it does have a lot of positive things going on. I just wish I was having more fun while playing it. Again, maybe it was just the atmosphere. Maybe it was because it was my first time playing and I was just kind of, okay, go play.
Mm-hmm. I thought this was the second time you've been playing it.
Well, no, the first time we saw it was at E3 and it wasn't playable. Although really? I did like it at E3. Yeah, I don't think it was playable at E3. Or if it was, it was for maybe 2 minutes. This was an hour.
Okay. Isn't this the one where the objectives are constantly changing?
You can select what objective you want to do. There's usually like four at one time.
Okay, again, and you can change your class at any time too, right?
You can change your class at a station at any time. So you find a computer station and you can change your class on the fly, which again is good if you're playing and, you know, if everyone's a medic and you need a soldier to get the door open, one of you guys can run over to a computer and change over. So there's a lot it does right. Maybe it's just not, you know, and it has a neat mechanic as far as, you know, like an Assassin's Creed style running and jumping system where you hold down the trigger and it'll, you know, just hurtle over obstacles automatically, climb up a wall and over.
So that's, well, is it pretty fast?
It's a very fast moving game. Yeah.
Sounds kind of cool. I mean,
no, I'm not saying it's not, again, it could just be the atmosphere that I was in. So it being a preview, I will, as Shipwreck said, give it the benefit of the doubt. But again, I think the game still has a lot to prove in the sense that at its core, it's still a one-mode game, which would be online multiplayer at its core.
That's my hang-up with it, is that I'm not sure what the focus of this game is. If it's just online multiplayer, that's not for me.
I feel like that's the focus. I am not convinced that there's a legitimate single-player element to this. And any online multiplayer, you know, is always contingent on A, the other players on your team, and B, other people playing it. And if those two factors can't be locked in early and often, then there's really no point in making the investment. So there you go, Brink in a nutshell.
All right, we'll keep our eye on it.
Exactly. It's definitely a keep your eye on it. I'm not saying the game is bad. I'm sure there's probably someone from the PR firm listening who's like, why did we invite this guy?
They're not listening.
No, I doubt it. So there you go.
All right, from one first-person shooter to another, let's talk about Bulletstorm. I know Shipwreck has finished it, and I am on, I think, the last, very last section.
Okay.
What do you think, Ship?
I think they should have done away with the first two acts, because everything after that, I think, is pretty excellent.
Yeah, I was really impressed with the game. I mean, here's another example of a demo that really doesn't do the game justice. It must be really hard to make a compelling demo for certain games, because I'm having a blast with it.
It's a lot of fun. I do think the first two acts, they put a little too much stock into people not understanding how to use the whip and kick mechanic, because it feels like the first two acts up until the end of maybe the second act are just hand-holding tutorial of, hey, you might want to whip this guy towards you and then kick him and then shoot him.
Yeah, but it also sets up the story. I mean, the story, of course, is not a huge part of the game.
No, I think the story is actually surprisingly decent for what it is.
I agree. It's a simple one, but it's, I think, you know, it's funny because a lot of it is being made about the language in the game and the violence in the game, but I mean, the way I see it, it's all very much sort of making fun of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it funny and entertaining and not offensive in any way. Even the language is so over the top that even the characters are questioning themselves when they hear these crazy curses coming out of people's mouths. Like, what are you talking about? You know, shit tits. What is shit tits? But the whole game, it just gives you an idea of what the whole game is like. It's really just pure fun. And it really, it looks great. It's a great looking game.
It is. It's surprising because I think they did a good job of actually making this game have a lot of color to it.
Yeah. And you know, if you jump from this game and go play Killzone, which is basically brown and, you know, and gray.
And brown.
Like, wow. Yeah. And more, and then some more brown.
Did you mention the brown?
You're like, wow, Bulletstorm is a good looking. You're playing Killzone and you're saying, wow, Bulletstorm is a really good looking game. Not to say that Killzone is not. It's just it's a very different look. Killzone has this very realistic, gritty look, and Bulletstorm has a very, you know, I wouldn't say cartoony, but I guess, you know, just colorful.
It's vibrant. I would call it a vibrant look.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It reminds me kind of in Slave's art style as well.
Hmm.
It's got a lot of color to it, but it's still kind of gritty looking. As far as, I think the game does a great job of doling out weapons and new enemies to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like every act, basically, you get a new weapon and you can upgrade it and everything. And once you get past this first two acts where you just have that crappy machine gun and the, I think you have the pistol at some point in there too. It really gets to be a lot of fun. The drill gun, I really enjoy that one. The alternate yeah. fires are fun on the guns.
Yeah, and the whole, you know, a major part of the game is, of course, killing people in fun and interesting ways. And, you know, you push the back button and it gives you a list of all the different ways that you can kill people. And it tells you if you've done it or not. It gives you a lot of stuff to do in a first-person shooter that normally most first-person shooters, you know, you just, you know, you play Killzone. I hate to use it again, but these are the two games I'm playing right now. Killzone, you're, you know, duck behind cover, pop up, shoot some guys, you know, duck, repeat. This, you know, maybe I'm going to take the drill gun and somehow drill this guy into the floor. And then because the drill is still spinning even after you shoot it, the guy is now spinning on the floor and you get the breakdancing skill shot. And there's like a whole bunch of those. It's just really a lot of fun. Even so much that Mrs. Cheapy enjoys watching me play it, and she usually will not watch me play a first-person shooter. But this one has got her interested. And I think maybe it's the story has even gotten her interested as well.
I actually had the same thing with Mrs. Shipwreck. She was asking me like what the relation was between the different characters and everything, because she came in like halfway or whatever. And it's surprisingly competent as far as the story goes.
I like the character of Ishii, the half robot, half human guy. It's very entertaining. It's just a really well done game. Really, another really polished EA published title. I think, and I think the sales are going to reflect that. I think people really are enjoying this game.
The one thing I would say is, why in the world are there all these thigh-high Gears of War rectangular cement things everywhere that stop you from moving? Like, it's a fast-paced game, and then all of a sudden you'll get to these places where all these cement things are, and you have to jump over them by getting a button prompt, and there's no reason for it.
I know what you're talking about. It didn't bother me. I didn't consider that a detriment to the game.
I just felt like there'd be a guy on the other side of one of these things, and it'd be a guy that I couldn't unleash. And so then I'd have to run all the way up there while I'm getting shot to do a skilled kill, at least. Like, I could kill him easy, just standing on the other side of the cement and shooting him. But to do anything cool, I got to run up all the way to it. Hopefully the A button comes up on the screen if I'm lined up correctly, and then jump over and then, like, kick him or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think they had some leftover level designs from Gears of War or something.
Leftover cement?
Yeah, yeah. Like, everybody else in the game can take cover, but you can't take cover, which is fine because the
you don't
enemies...
Need it.
Yeah. The enemies need to be doing something besides running at you.
Yeah, and it's pretty... you know, you're pretty powerful. The weapons are very powerful and fun. What's your favorite weapon?
I like the four-barreled shotgun.
That's pretty fun. Yeah, when you get up really close to somebody and you shoot them with a shotgun, you can their torso just goes flying. Their legs stay there. If you shoot them in the torso, their legs just stay put and their torso just goes flying through the air. It's pretty awesome.
The flare gun is fun too. I like the flare gun.
Can you whip the torso, like lasso in the torso while it's
flying? It goes flying so fast, I think. I don't think you can.
I don't think you can lasso anything that's technically dead.
See, that's kind of a bummer because that would be kind of cool. That is
something like
that.
The scoring then, like, system and the combos
throw the
rigid.
Torso into another dude and kill him that way.
They left some stuff open for the sequel. I guess
I was going to say that sounds like Bulletstorm 2.
Like throwing heads at people.
Yeah.
What were you saying about the skill shots, Chip?
Well, I think they're just very rigid in that sometimes I thought I was doing something cool. Like I'd do a big long string of stuff and then I'd get like 10 points for it because it wasn't something that was on the list. I think they could have maybe in Bulletstorm 2, they'll have more organic scoring. Like every time you do something, it's not just like a set score. Like things could kind of combine together. So instead of scoring 50 points, maybe you could score like 63 points because you did all this other stuff in between.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the biggest downside to the game is the length of the single-player campaign, I mean, which is, I guess, an ongoing fad right now. These first-person shooters that last, you know, maybe, what do you think, 5 hours?
I want to say I finished it in six.
Yeah.
And we tried out the multiplayer.
Yeah, the multiplayer is, you know, one of these horde mode type deals, and it's not very compelling. It works fine, works great, but... You know, you're in like a small area and there's four of you running around doing skill kills on people. It's okay. I don't think I would ever play it again, to be honest with you.
No, I was getting tired of it about halfway through our play session, which was only about four rounds of it, I think.
Mm-hmm. There's also an Echoes mode where you are going through sections of the game and trying to accumulate as many points as possible. And there's leaderboards set up for that. That's more fun, I think. But that's, you know, that's still just another single-player mode. I don't know how much replayability there is there, but I do recommend you check it out. If you can get it for cheap, that would be ideal, I guess. But Bulletstorm, big surprise, a very pleasant surprise. For me, anyway.
Can Shipwreck say the same thing about Knight's Contract?
Well, I've played that for about an hour and a half, maybe? Somewhere in the hour to 2 hour range. Have you heard of God of War?
I am familiar with that game.
Okay, now...
That's the game where TPD kills topless women, right?
That is. Mm-hmm. That is the one.
I know why you'd be confused, because our bodies are very similar.
Yes, that is where my confusion comes in.
Yes, yes.
Bald and pasty has nothing to do with it.
With Japanese games?
I've seen one or two in the last 30 years.
Imagine if Japan tried to make God of War.
It sounds like a train wreck in a box.
That is exactly what this is. You control this Heinrich guy who was an executioner and he killed the witches, and now the witches have come back from the dead and you have a witch that's helping you.
Oh, so Heinrich.
Her name is Gretchen, the witch that's helping you.
Gretchen? And
yes. What a name, huh? So
is this an attractive witch?
She is very attractive.
Does she have comically large breasts?
Actually, no, she does. Some of the characters do. I don't believe she does. Which I was actually surprised by how tasteful the breasts were in Bulletstorm, as a side note.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The female character has normal human-sized breasts.
Unlike
really
Dragon
weird,
Age
right?
2.
Even what's that, Chip?
Really weird is what he said.
Oh yeah, weird. I didn't. You know what? I didn't even notice because it was normal. Thank you, Bulletstorm.
But Knight's Contract. Yeah. So it's basically you're this guy and you have to make sure she doesn't
play
die.
This guy named Robert.
Uh huh. And you have to make sure she doesn't die. So it's pretty much a game long escort mission where she can cast magic to help you, but you have to make sure that. Like, it doesn't matter if you die, because you can just tap the A button a bunch, and you come back to life. But if she dies, it's game over. And you're doing God of War combos.
That
my
doesn't
experience
sound like any
so fun. Far, no, it's really not. My experience so far is you do battles for about 45 seconds, and then you watch about 5 minutes of cutscenes that are terrible. And then you battle something for 45 seconds, and then you watch another 5 minutes of cutscenes that are terrible.
I'm just trying to picture you playing this game and getting to a frustrating moment and have the witch die and have you scream, "God damn it, Gretchen, you can't do anything right!" And then you're getting, and then you're getting slapped. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was funny for the three of us.
Yeah, I think we get the picture of Knight's contract. It's no Bulletstorm.
No.
Or God of War.
No.
All right, let's move on to some news and stuff.
Panasonic is canceling The Jungle. That was the handheld. Yeah, it's a bad idea. Obviously, it's a bad idea. That's all we're going to say about that.
Yeah, why would you make a handheld gaming device that can only play like a few games?
This was the MMO device, right?
Yeah, this was the portable MMO
device.
This
is the
device
that Wombats wanted for so long, right?
Yes, that I thought could have potential. It turns out I was wrong.
Okay, just checking.
Yep, that's it. I just wanted to say it. I guess Panasonic agrees with the world. And me siding with Panasonic was misguided.
Right. You thought they knew what they were doing, but well, apparently even they realized they didn't know what they were doing.
Such a great name, though, right?
I like The Jungle.
What the hell? What does Jungle have to do with anything?
I think they came up with the slogan first for the commercial, the tagline, and then worked backwards.
What was the tagline?
Welcome to the Jungle.
No, it wasn't.
Bungle in the Jungle?
That's better.
I know.
Let's see what else we got here. Oh, this is a quote from Neil Young, Wombat. I know you're a big fan of Neil Young.
He is a miner for a heart of gold.
Actually, this is Neil Young, who is the head of NG Moco, which is
the owner of the Lionel Train Company.
How would you know that?
Neil Young, the singer, is.
He is?
Yeah. Look it
up.
I
didn't know that. That's weird. So he basically said at GDC that he thought that the NGP would be dead on arrival, and that the 3DS has more of a chance, mostly because of Nintendo's IP. Here's the quote about Sony. He says, "I think they are hurt. I think they're clearly hurt. I think the PSP is done and the new NGP is dead on arrival. It's really difficult to compete with an app store that has hundreds of thousands of applications and a wide range of options where the average price paid is around $1.20, and there are tens, if not hundreds of thousands of free applications that are really high quality. So I just don't think Sony is going to be able to compete with that." And then, you know, they said, well, you know, Sony's saying that NGP is going to be a PS3-like experience. And he says, it's not. And you know what? It's not a PS3 quality experience. The graphics may be somewhat PS3 quality, but you can't compare playing on a handheld, with playing on your couch on a big screen with a proper controller. It's not the same thing. Even if the graphics are somewhat in the ballpark, it's just not the same thing. So I think, I don't know. I'm not too optimistic on the NGP myself. I think, you know what? I think they'll sell enough that they'll make money.
Well, I think sell enough in Japan just when Monster Hunter comes out.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, by the time this thing comes out, there's probably going to be two more iPhones.
Probably. Aren't they supposed to announce that next week?
No, iPad is in tomorrow.
Yeah, iPad is it tomorrow? Wow.
iPad 2 is tomorrow. Yeah,
iPhone doesn't have Monster Hunter, though. So
it does not. You're right. We'll see. I mean, I'll keep an open mind with the NGP. We don't know all of its tricks yet. We don't know the price yet. Let's see. Let's move on to... Okay, we're not going to do a top analyst this week. Instead, I thought we would do a hype wagon. There's so many awesome games coming out this year. It's really hard to pick one. Who's going to go first?
Well, I could go with my obvious, which would be Skyrim.
Dude, I watched that.
Did you watch the gameplay trailer?
Oh my god, that
looks
so good.
Awesome. There are dragons and dudes with horns on their helmet. I'm sold. Mm-hmm. That's all I need.
Yeah, Max, there's very few games that I get genuinely like giddy for, and Skyrim is one of those. It's one of those things I can't believe that's actually coming out.
Yeah, I didn't think it would come out in my lifetime.
And it's coming out this year.
I know, it's amazing.
It's amazing.
Squee.
Yeah, hopefully it's just, I guess all they really need to do to get me to continue to be excited is, you know, tighten up the graphics and
that's it.
And that's basically it. You know, make sure it works.
ditch the whole, you know, what didn't work in Oblivion was the Oblivion gates, but this isn't called Oblivion, so there shouldn't be any Oblivion gates.
True. That was sort of annoying.
But everything else, I mean, you know, the guilds, just playing through each of the guilds was the best part of the game.
Yeah, that is a big one. Well, I'm gonna pick another one. I could have went that way, but I'll go with, oh man, there's so many here. I have 18 on my wish list, right? Okay, 18 games. Actually, only 17. I'm gonna go with L.A. Noire. Been watching the gameplay trailer of that and reading some previews. I don't know, something about like that setting. Being a detective and solving crimes and shooting people in the, you know, the late 1940s. I'm excited. I really like Mafia 2, as you know, and this looks like Mafia 2, but with a little bit extra in the crime solving stuff. So I'm pretty fired up for LA Noire. Ship?
Those are some pretty good choices. Like, those both look very good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say I'm kind of excited about Serious Sam 3.
What? Get out of here. I'm hanging up on you.
Get out of town.
It's not, certainly it's not in the level of those other two games, but those are fun
more
games.
More than Duke Nukem?
Yes.
Because I always assume they're just the same game.
No, Serious Sam definitely has a different pacing to it. Serious Sam just throws as many enemies on the screen as possible.
Is this a downloadable?
Serious Sam?
Yeah.
The third one?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it?
I don't know.
It just got announced here recently. I mean, you can download the first and second one on Xbox Live Arcade right now, but
damn, there's so many good. Let me read you my wish list in rapid fire succession. Batman Arkham City, BioShock. Is BioShock coming out this year?
No.
No. No.
No.
Child of Eden, Crisis 2, Deus Ex, Skyrim, Eco and Shadow of Colossus Collection, L.A. Noire, Last Guardian's not coming out this year. Mass Effect 3, Mortal Kombat, Portal 2, Twisted Metal. I'm not that super excited about that one. Uncharted 3. I mean,
I could have picked Uncharted 3. That's an easy one.
That's an easy one.
Yeah.
So a lot of great stuff coming. A lot of stuff fitting on the hype wagon this year. It's really incredible. E3 is going to be.
And Dragon Age 2 next week. Yeah.
Not too excited about that one.
I am.
I know. Let's see. Let's move on to Sony. I've been playing some Killzone 3 in the 3Ds and the 2Ds.
No movies, though?
What do you mean, no movies?
You don't have a move?
Oh, no movies. Right. I don't have a move. I don't know. If they had the gun here, the sharpshooter, maybe I would get it. But then I think, am I really going to be standing up and shooting or playing this game with the gun?
Why do you need to stand up? You don't need to stand up, do you?
Oh, you can sit and play with it? I guess you could sit and do it. I don't know. If I could get it, I'd give it a shot. But I am... It's a solid game. It's cool. I don't mind the cutscenes. I remember reading the reviews and people saying that the cutscenes were just so boring and just a pain in the ass. I haven't encountered that yet. I don't know. The controls seem a lot better than Killzone 2. And granted, I'm not very far. I've played maybe an hour and a half. It's more Killzone. It's cool. It's not, the problem is when you play it after Bulletstorm, it's really so different. But I just got it to the part where you get into the mechs and you're piloting a mech, which is pretty awesome.
I've heard it's, I haven't played it yet. I still need to buy it,
mm-hmm.
but I've heard it's very much in the Old Spice genre of video games where,
how do you mean?
Well, how Call of Duty does it, where now I'm on a snowmobile, now I'm on a volcano, now I'm in a mech suit, now I'm in the desert. Like,
well, I think that's, you know what? I think it kind of needs that. Based, you know, the setting is pretty depressing. You know, you're on a world that's been blown to shit. So I guess they need to have you doing different things to keep it interesting and fresh. And that part is actually working for me. Otherwise, if I'm just walking and, you know, getting behind cover and popping up every once in a while, I think that would get pretty old pretty quickly. So I guess that's a good thing. As far as the 3D goes, I wound up turning it off because it's not very good.
Was it giving you a headache?
No, I never have that problem, actually. It just it makes the graphics look unimpressive.
Well, it darkens everything look, doesn't it?
It darkens. It wasn't so much the darkness. It was it makes stuff blurry and like jaggy. And as soon as you turn that off, everything sharpens up quite nice. And I think I'd much rather have like the cleaner looking graphics than the 3D effect.
Cleaner looking graphics.
Yeah, well, what do you want from me? I'm a Jew from New York. What do you want?
Who knew?
So I like it. I'm liking it so far. Will I make it through to the end? That is the question. And the answer is, I don't know. If I do, it'll be the first Killzone that I play to the end. I only briefly tried the multiplayer and it worked. That's about all I could say.
It's pretty glowing.
You do get to choose what part of the world you want to play in. So I could play with just Japanese people if I wanted to, or with you American dogs. You know, my choice. The choice is mine.
Yeah.
Some kind of interesting stuff coming out of GDC about Infamous 2. It's going to have user-generated levels.
Yeah, I was looking at a screenshot of that on Joystick. It looks pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that interests me a lot more than the user-generated stuff in Little Big Planet.
Wait, I haven't seen this yet. This is totally confusing to me. Yeah.
There's a level editor in Infamous 2.
There's not really... there's just buildings and stuff in Infamous.
Yes,
yeah, but you can build your own missions.
You put a city and I don't know. The screenshot I have kind of looks like color forms.
Build your own escort missions.
Yeah.
But you can choose the type of mission it is, if it's some sort of platforming.
There's going to be a beta in April.
It sounds cool. I mean, I like the first one. That's another game I haven't finished, but I think I'm right at the end of that game and I just never finished it. One day I'll get there. Of course, I've forgotten how to play it by now, but I don't know. Sounds cool. I'm interested. You've got my attention, Infamous 2. My ears are perking up. Let's move on to Microsoft. I thought that this was pretty interesting. Harmonix has said, or the CEO of Harmonix has said that Dance Central has outperformed Rock Band 3 at retail.
Which means it sold more than 8 copies.
Which is depressing to me, because Rock Band 3 is really good. It's really good. And certainly, since Rock Band 3 is on 3 consoles, and Dance Central is on 1. So boy, Rock Band 3 did not do well.
No, it did not.
But I mean, Rock Band 3 is just, I'll just, every once in a while, I'll just turn that on and play it for like an hour. You know, there'll be like some DLC I'm interested in, and I'll buy like 1 song or 2 songs. And then I'll sit there and I'll just go through all these other great songs that I got. And just so much fun with the keyboard. I wish more people bought it.
People like to dance. They don't like to
play plastic instruments anymore. I don't want to dance in my living room. I want to sit on my couch with a mini keyboard.
You are in the minority now.
I want to pretend like I can play the piano.
Pretend like you can dance.
That, you cannot fake that. Although I watched you fake it on that video. That was pretty...
Flawless, flawless solo or whatever it was, yes.
Yeah, that was... I have a different opinion about that solo. But I don't know. They said it's like one of the top-selling titles for Kinect, and Kinect is one of the most successful products in the entire video game industry right now, says the CEO of Harmonix. So, I'm sad. I'm officially sad now.
I'm not sad for Harmonix, though. I mean,
they found
another way to make some money.
I'm glad. I'm glad about that. I'm sad about Rock Band 3. I really hope the DLC keeps coming for Rock Band. I just bought my most recent Rock Band 3 DLC purchase is Paradise by the Dashboard Light and Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Of course.
I hate Meatloaf.
They're both pretty fun to play. Total Eclipse of the Heart is really fun, actually.
I'm sure Total Eclipse of the Heart is fun to play.
It's long, too. Both those songs are really long.
I like the literal interpretation on YouTube, Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Oh, it's funny.
You haven't seen that? You got to see
No, I have. I've seen it.
It's funny.
I know. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
What are these other things here? I don't know what these are.
I got this in the mail. This email from Xbox, from Microsoft. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. This is the first time I ever got this particular email. I didn't know if you got it also, Shipwreck.
And it's labeled Volume 1.
It's really weird. Yeah, Issue 1. It's really weird and... You know, it just lists all your personal statistics for Xbox from the last month in one email. It has my, you know, it has my username, my gamer score, that I've been an Xbox Live member since November 15th, 2004, when my subscription ends.
I want that.
It tells me how much time I spent on Xbox Live last month, which was 34 hours and 51 minutes. My most frequent activity last month was Dragon Age Origins for 22 hours and 6 minutes. I spent 7 hours and 51 minutes on Netflix.
Huh.
Yeah.
How come I didn't get this email?
I don't know, but it's pretty cool.
Who's it from? What's the email address?
It's from Xbox at engage.xbox.com.
Engage.
Yeah, it's a pretty neat email. I spent 94 hours and 42 minutes last month.
That's insane.
Xbox Live.
That's two work weeks.
It goes down through and it like gives you recommendations based on the games that you own. It's suggesting that I get Hardcore Uprising because I played Street Fighter 2.
What's the subject of the email?
It says, mine is Wombat5277. Here's your personalized Xbox news and info. Okay. Mine doesn't have any suggestions. Mine says, new release Homefront. It's telling me that Pac-Man is the deal of the week, which I already purchased. And that's pretty basically it. No suggestions.
Mine has different suggestions. It has Dead Space 2 on there, which is weird because it knows that I played Dead Space 2, but it recommends that because I played Dead Space 1.
Does it tell you that January's most popular Avatar item was the Black Ops Mystery Box?
It does.
Yeah.
And the most common achievement is the Black Ops Give Me Liberty achievement.
Yes, it is.
Since it's March 1st, let's look at our Raptor profiles and see what our most played titles were for the last month.
That's Raptor, R-A-P-T-R.
Yeah, everybody asks that. I get a lot of messages, yeah. About that. I'll do mine first.
That's why I said it.
Yep. Okay, last month, most played for me on Xbox 360. You know, it only tracks Xbox 360. 10 hours for Dead Space 2. 9 hours for Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. 8 hours for Bulletstorm. 6 hours for Call of Duty Black Ops. 2 hours for Rock Band 3. And 1 hour for Hydrophobia, the Xbox Live arcade game. What do you think about that?
I think that's an hour wasted.
It wasn't bad. I don't, you know. I got to get back to that maybe at some point. Who's next?
I've got mine up. I can
do it. Do it.
I've got 12 hours of Dead Space 2.
Mm-hmm.
9 hours of Bulletstorm. 7 hours of Bionic Commando Rearm 2.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, I should post that review, maybe.
Should I put in the time playing it?
Yeah, I have that review pretty much done. Mm-hmm. 81 minutes on Knight's Contract, an hour on Mindjack, and 45 minutes on Body and Brain Connection.
Awesome. Wombat?
Mine isn't working, and I don't know why.
How could it not be working?
I don't know. I have to get a new password. But I thought
you don't need to log in. You just go to raptor.com/ and then your name.
Okay, let's try that.
Raptor.com. That'll work.
Yes, that will work. Like, why is this not working? Anyway.
Wow, I have 54 hours into Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
It's pretty impressive, yeah. Mm. Huh, nope, didn't work.
No, yours is broken. All right, you're out, Wombat.
I know. Sorry.
Sorry. All right,
I found it.
What? Okay.
I played in the last 1 month. There we go. 13 hours of Toy Story 3.
Wow.
7 hours of Dragon Age Origins. 106 minutes of Red Dead Redemption. 77 minutes of Pinball FX2. And 21 minutes of Pac-Man Championship Edition.
Which is on sale this week, by the way, for $5.
Yes, which is why I have it now.
Right. I need to get back to Red Dead Undead.
Yeah. That's why I went back to it.
Yeah, I need to get there.
I was able to jump right in. I was surprised. I hadn't played that game in quite some time.
Let's move on to Nintendo. So the 3DS is out in Japan. And I just couldn't bring myself to buy one.
That was exciting. Thanks for telling us.
First of all, it's sold out now. They had 400,000 units at launch and they're all gone. Although I see quite a few of them on the Amazon Japan third party marketplace. But I don't know. It's all in Japanese. It's region locked. There were a lot of this, so those are two big reasons why I didn't buy it right away. And generally, you know, and there's no good games to play. There's 8 launch titles, and am I really looking to play Street Fighter on a handheld? You know, the other games are pretty bad. So it's very hard for me to get excited about the 3DS. I do still have my pre-order for the American one, but I don't know. B-Game2 writes in, and he wants to know... let's see. He says, do the three of you think that the relative ease with which the Nintendo's 3DS was hacked is representative of how good a hardware developer they are? I ask this because it seems Nintendo's hardware sells well, but pales in comparison to the specs of the other systems. It wasn't really hacked, right? It's just the R4 card works on it, so you can play the regular DS games on it. So I don't think that's really much of a big deal. I think people maybe... getting much ado about nothing. When the 3D games get hacked, then we've got a story. But until then, we got nothing. What else we got here in the world of Nintendo? Oh, by the way, if you want to listen to a very good podcast about the 3DS, I recommend 8-4 Play, which you can get off of 1UP.com. They had a very entertaining show about the 3DS launch in Japan, and it was very funny, and you should definitely check it out.
I've been playing Dragon Quest VI on the normal DS.
No, that was localized by the 8-4 guys.
Oh, was it?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
How'd they do?
The localization seems fine.
Words in English?
So far, yeah. I'm about maybe 2 hours into it.
So that's the whole game. The game's only 3 hours long.
Yeah, right. It's hard to go back to this after Dragon Quest 9 or 10. Dragon Quest 10 was the last one, right?
Was that what the last? I'm trying to remember.
Nine. It just feels very rote Japanese RPG. I haven't gotten anything that's really makes it stand out from any other game of that era. Like this was a game that's been updated, I guess. It never came out in the States, as far as I know. And now they finally brought it over and with all the updates and everything. It seems fine. I just wish the thing about Japanese RPGs, I think that I figured out, is I wish I could skip the first 10 hours where I'm just pressing the attack button over and over again. Like, once you get into battles where you actually have to think and pull out magic spells and use tactics and everything, then I kind of dig them. It's just grinding at the beginning where all you can do is just keep hitting the A button until things are dead. That's not all that exciting.
All right.
I'll keep playing it.
Cool. Let's move on to iPhone, etc. Well, the iPad 2 announcement is tomorrow. Who's going to buy an iPad 2?
Or today, if you're listening to this.
Right. Who's going to buy one?
Well, I don't have one.
I just got an iPad for Christmas.
Well, boom. You can sell it.
I'm not going to sell it. It's fine.
Oh, but this could be more fine.
What could it possibly do better?
This one gives you a hand job.
That would be good. If you can stick your dick in it.
Mm-hmm. It's called the H jobs.
There's an app for that.
There will be.
Yeah. I did, on your recommendation, Shipwreck, I picked up Battle Heart, and I am very much enjoying it. I played about an hour and a half or more of it, and boy, did my legs fall asleep while I was playing that for an hour and a half. But it is really, really well done. Super well done. Fun. If you have any interest in a very sort of simple but fun RPG. you know, with obviously just a focus on combat. It's really only just combat, but it's cool. It's fun leveling up your guys and getting the new stuff. And have you beaten it?
No, I haven't beaten it yet. I'm taking my time with it. I mean, I play like a level every day or so.
Mm-hmm. I did have to grind a little bit to get past maybe like the fourth or fifth level.
Right. That's really where it starts to get to a little bit of a grind. But it's not – the levels are so short. Like maybe they take 2 minutes or something.
Yeah. It's really well done. I don't know if it's still on sale for $1, but that's the price that I paid for it. And I also wanted to give everybody a shout out, everybody the heads up rather. If you like Game Dev Story, Hot Spring Story. Is it Hot Spring Story or Onsen Story? I don't know, but that is out now, and you know, you manage a Japanese hot spring resort. Mrs. Cheapy has been playing it, and the initial report is that she does not enjoy it as much as Game Dev Story. And supposedly they're coming out with a game store story type game.
Well, that's already out in Japan, but they haven't localized it yet.
Yeah, I'm very much interested in. But okay, so that's the iPhone and blah blah blah. Let's move on to Cagbag and show us your tweets. This question comes. This is not even a question. Why did I even put it on here? Oh, well, I guess the Elster wanted to know. He said he finished the Dragon Age 2 demo and managed to beat the ogre with the female mage after the rest of his party had died. It took a while and was tempted to turn the demo off. So his question is: do you think the developers should have made the ogre easier the second time around so people may actually finish the demo and be a bit more hyped for the game? As Wombat says, your opinion does change once you see the witch's comically large breasts, aka the McElroy booberoobs.
Yeah, they're huge. It's very distracting. But anyway.
Yeah,
demos typically you tone the difficulty down.
Yeah, it definitely should have been easy, because even I was like, wow, this is hard.
Let's see here. Archaic says, hey guys, how about you get nostalgic for a bit and go back to a time before free review copies and 3D televisions? What was the best video game related deal you can remember being really excited about?
I got Journey for the Atari 2600 for $2.
That's exciting.
Yeah, Journey Escape's a great game.
Yeah, I know that game. This is the one I always say. I've probably said it a million times, but Circuit City had that combo disc of Star Wars, Clone Wars, and Tetris for 1 cent. That was for the Xbox, the original Xbox. And you could order it from CircuitCity.com with free shipping for 1 cent. And when it shipped, I was really excited. I had no interest in the game.
I think I bought that game for $1 at GameStop, I think.
Yeah. So you paid 100 times more.
I did. And even that, I thought was a good deal.
And I didn't care about the game. I just was so excited that like somebody shipped me something for a penny. And I wound up giving it to my weed dealer at the time.
Nice.
I'm pretty sure.
Nice.
Well, what about you, Amit?
I picked up Gungrave for the PlayStation 2 for $5, just at random, because I had been living in the city, and I didn't know that there were, you know, I think we were, it must have been a Target or a Kmart. I don't know. It was when I was dating my wife, and I didn't realize that they had these clearance sections in these big box stores. So she was looking for something that she needed for her apartment at the time, and I found this. She was living on Long Island, and I found mm-hmm. Gungrave for $5. And I had never seen a game, because every game I see in Manhattan was $50. I'm like, this game is only $5, and it's new.
Right.
I'm like, I don't even know what it's about, but I'm buying it. That happened to be a very good game.
Yeah, Rygar was another one that I remember from classic CAG. Rygar was always
$5.
Yeah, that was like our big deal. Like in 2003, Rygar for $5.
I bought that when that was the deal.
Yeah,
I think that might have been the first deal I got through CAG. The first deal I got through CAG was a set of Logitech speakers for $20. But
I think we're talking about like the first month of existence of Cheap Ass Gamer right here.
But I do remember getting Rygar for $5.
I'm pretty sure that I got Steel Battalion for $50 from an early CAG thread as well.
Yeah, that was another one.
That was at FYE or one of those stores. Mm-hmm. I don't think Media Play. It was at Media Play. They were $50 each, and I got a couple of Steel Battalions for that.
All right, let's move on. Nat Forever. Two questions for Shipwreck here. Do you feel that your opinion of a game is affected by whether or not you receive the game for review or can find it on the cheap versus games that you have to pay retail price for or close to it? Generally, no matter how amazing a game is, I find it difficult to appreciate a game that I've paid $40 for when there are so many great games that have recently hit the $10 mark.
No, not really. I mean, I'm to the point where if I want to buy a game for $60, I'm fine with paying $60 for it if I enjoy it. I think I've played enough games that I can kind of judge at what price point I would be comfortable with buying that game. So,
or recommending it.
Yeah, or recommending it. Either way. So I don't really think that whether I get a game for free or whether I pay a price for it really changes my opinion on the game at all.
All right. The second question is for me about things to see in Japan, but one of these days I just need to make a blog post about everything you need to know about visiting Japan, because I don't have time to answer that right now. Studio Ben Knight on Twitter writes in, he wants to know if we're sad about the Chinatown Fair, the arcade in New York City, closing down. Wombat, have you ever been there?
I haven't. Have you?
A lot.
See, I've never been. Yeah. So I've been told I'm supposed to be sad about this, but I've never been there.
It's a very sort of dumpy arcade in Chinatown, which is dumpy to begin with. But Mrs. Chibi, when Mrs. Chibi and I were dating, I believe this is when we were dating, we had a routine that we would do every weekend. We would go to Chinatown. We would go to a dim sum, either at Dim Sum Go-Go or HSF, both which are right around the corner from Chinatown Fair. And then we would go to Chinatown Fair and play some Dance Dance Revolution, which is what one of the games that Chinatown Fair is sort of known for. People, you know, you get a very high class of player there. We were not a high class of player, but I'm sure Mrs. Cheapy can be very sad when I tell her this news, because it was literally like every weekend we would go do this. So they're moving to Brooklyn. That's the story. So yes, very sad. Let's see. JJ Bro One wants to know, why do people think it's okay to spoil a game just because it's old? A game should never be spoiled for any reason, period. I guess he's talking about some podcasts spoiled. I mean, you should always just give a spoiler warning. And then people can put their hands over their ears.
Well, I think there's a limit. Like, the princess is not in the first castle in Super Mario Brothers.
That's okay.
Like, is that really... I remember there was a thread on KAG, it may have been 2 years ago, where someone freaked out because someone mentioned that Darth Vader was Luke Skywalker's father.
No.
Yes. The moderator locked the thread.
No, they were kidding.
No, they were not kidding. There was a serious like meltdown in your own website because
how many years is it safe that you can talk
that's
about
the question.
Ending of a game?
Yeah, I think that you can mention the ending of any game that's, I don't know, at 3 years old. That's my arbitrary number.
I'll say any game that's on a system, you know, that's a generation behind.
So any system you can't find new in a store, and common new in a store.
Pretty much.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah, sure. So any Xbox game or PlayStation 2, well, PlayStation 2 you can still buy, but yes, that would still apply.
Let's see.
So let's spoil the ending of all those games right now. Let's go down through them.
Aeris dies.
A couple of comments, questions from Facebook.
Snape kills Dumbledore.
Christian Cuttington says, I was looking through some old boxes in my closet last night and found my KAG wristband you gave out a long time ago. Wonder how many folks still have theirs.
I have mine.
I have not taken mine off. I wear it every day.
That's
I
gross.
I take it off. Well, I wash my arm. I didn't say I go into the shower with a plastic bag on my
wrist. You have a green band where the green band goes.
No, it's fine. I still have a few of those. We should do something like that again. That was a lot. Well, except my poor parents. My poor parents shipped out like 1,500 wristbands.
Yeah, they need something to do.
Yeah, they were tired. They were bored.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Let's see what else. LB Brown wants some speculations on Homefront. He says there are some serious pre-order promos for this. Free headset from Best Buy, free micro console, plus Metro 2033 from OnLive. I fear it's going to be the suck. I'm not too optimistic about this one either. I mean, there's been all those stories about how they've been in crunch mode. Developers have been in crunch mode for like 6 months or more on this game. I don't know.
It's a pretty interesting pre-order bonus, that headset.
A big headset.
Yeah, like it looks, I mean, from the picture, it looks like a pretty intense looking headset.
Substantial.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm with you on this one, LB.
There's one for the PS3 also. It's the, you know, like either a Bluetooth in-ear one for the PS3 or a big, massive, you know, wired one. Xbox one. Yeah, it's interesting.
I'm with you, LB. I think you have cause for concern, but we'll see. I don't know. I haven't.
Did you guys play Frontlines Fuel of War?
I did, actually. I played some of it. I played the demo, I guess, maybe.
I mean, this is by Chaos, the same people who did that, and it's pretty much the same type of storyline.
Yeah. I mean, that wasn't bad.
No, I mean, it should be fine, I think. I don't think it's going to be outstanding, but
we'll see, I guess, how it compares to Crysis.
Crysis looks like it's going to be good.
Yeah, I'm worried about that. I mean, the multiplayer demo didn't really do it for me, but I got high hopes for the single player. I've never played Crysis before, so I'm sort of looking forward to that. And I think that's it. I think we're done. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I want to remind you to follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/GPD, twitter.com/wombat5277, and of course, twitter.com/shipwreck. And what else? Review us on iTunes and subscribe to us on iTunes, please. We very much appreciate it. Get your friends to listen. What else? Oh, GoDaddy.com for your domain registration and web hosting needs. CAG10 gets you 10% off. CAG5 off 30 gets you $5 off a $30 order. And CAG domain gets you $7.49 domain registrations. GoDaddy.com.
Or just click the donate button in the top corner of your screen.
What are you talking about? What is that from?
Other websites. It's a joke. Yeah, it was funny to other people.
I'm headed to Hokkaido for the weekend with my family, my extended family here. Do a little skiing, which I don't really. I do bad snowboarding. I'm a very poor snowboarder, but that's what I'll be doing. And winning, of course.
Oh yeah, well, you know, you're a big deal. A
lot of winning.
There'll you need to stop pretending you're not a big deal.
I know. I should. I really should. I'm very humble, you know, and I...
You're a rock star from Mars.
What was that website? Okay, here's a great website for everybody. LiveTheSheenDream.com. you go on there, and it's just, you click on Charlie Sheen's head, and it gives you great quotes. We're Vatican assassins. How complicated can it be? Sorry, man. I didn't make the rules.
I'm not Thomas Jefferson. He was a pussy.
I have a disease. Bullshit. I cured it with my brain. I'm an F-18, bro.
Surprise. That's what winners do.
I am special, and I will never be one of you. I've got magic. I've got poetry at my fingertips.
One of my favorite poets is Eminem.
I'm going to win every moment. Come on, bro. I won Best Picture at 20. He won Best Picture.
Yes, he did, personally.
Faith is for winners. Hope is for losers. And drug tests don't lie. Okay, that's enough Charlie Sheen's. But thank you, and we'll see you next week.
Bread's done.
When things start changing right before your eyes. When shapes just seem to appear out of nowhere. When the whole world seems transformed. You've been Tetrisized. Nintendo introduces Tetris. It will mesmerize you. Tetris challenges the mind and puzzles the imagination. No other game can stack up to Tetris. Nintendo, now you're playing with power.